Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's Friday. Here we are on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Stories of Hope. I'm so excited because we're going to inspire you today. The fire is going to get started. It's going to get activated and you're going to feel like, wow, that's just what I needed to hear. So in the house we have, I asked him in the green room, I said, so where do you live, Dr. J? And he said,
I said, I am not a doctor, but sometimes I play one on TV. But I have an associate's degree in therapeutic recreation. I have a dual bachelor's degree in psychology and theater. I have a master's degree in arts and teaching. I was a special ed teacher for many years. I served two tours in the military, 4 years in the Army, 4 years in the Air Force. I wrote a children's book that has wonderful reviews on Amazon. And I dabbled a little bit in theater, stage, and television. I was on the set of, you know, Criminal Intent, Sex in the City, a few movies. Wow. I also joined a very successful touring Jewish boy band, and I'm not even Jewish. I married 21 years, have two beautiful adopted children. Life is good. But most importantly, so forget all those degrees, forget all the experience, because who cares? Nobody's interested. I have a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks in life, and that's what brought me to where we are today.
Yeah, I was going to say, because one of the things I was looking at, your childhood was anything but a success. Years of drugs, alcohol, and years in special education. Mr. J quit school in the sixth grade, ultimately living on the streets, falling victim to abuse after abuse. After the second gun to his temple, Mr. J vowed to fix himself so he could help fix others. Now, that's why I said to you earlier, you and I have a lot in common. Like, what drugs did you do?
It's probably better to ask what drugs I didn't do. That would be a shorter list.
Oh my God. Okay, so what drugs didn't you do?
First of all, the drugs nowadays are not the drugs of yesteryear, as far as I know. Like, I didn't do, I don't think I did meth. I didn't do meth. I hate to say typical stuff, but I did, you know, I did your pot and coke and acid and drinking. I went through a phase. Yeah.
Yeah. And would you say that, you know, everything that you went through in your childhood, we nailed it before the show. We nailed it. It was at the root core, because one of the things I said to you was, and you said this also in your bio, basically, in your words, you said the relationship you have with yourself sets the tone for all other relationships around you. You also said that you see so many people at the root have self-hatred at their core. And would you also say that because of the drug abuse, the homelessness, the, you know, gun to the head and all the different things, at that root was self-hatred?
Probably. I think when you're younger, you don't have the words. Certainly self-confusion. When you are raised in an atmosphere where you're marinated in abuse and toxicity, you don't really have a lot of hope. You don't really have a lot of self-love. Absolutely. And then when every turn that where you turn, there's more toxicity, such as, okay, my home life was not healthy, so let me go on the streets. And then, you know, you're getting robbed. and which I, sometimes I look back and I almost chuckle, like, why in the world would a homeless person get robbed? Like, what are you robbing? They're homeless, you know? But I guess they were robbing the little food that I got somehow, to eat. I do believe that, the relationship people have with themselves sets the tone and standard for all other relationships around you. I think once you go through the healing process, Cornelia, what were once your red flags are now your deal breakers. What were once your red flags are non-negotiables. That's what healing is all about. So it's your relationship you have with yourself sets the tone and the standard for all other relationships around you, because the relationships around us feed us. It's what we focus on. It's like when you watch a skier go downhill and in the snow and they're around a bunch of trees and they're swerving in and out of the trees and you think, oh my God, there's so many trees around. How come they're not hitting a tree? Well, that's because they're not focused on the tree. They're focused on the path. And if we hang around with people that are negative, that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to hit a lot of trees.
Yeah, I love that. I also, you know, I resonated to a lot of the things that you had in your childhood and what you were going through. I also had a very toxic upbringing, very challenging childhood, but also it made me into who I am today, because coming out of all of that, and then we're able to do this amazing ministry of work that we're doing, which is fantastic. And it just, it feels good, doesn't it? Now, I was relating to your comment about the relationship to the self. And I say this in my community a lot, and that is that the most important relationship that you have is with yourself. And then you bring that beautiful relationship to all the other relationships and how you relate with life and all the other people. If the relationship you have with yourself is beautiful, it's loving, it's kind, it's nurturing, you're going to bring that relationship to, you know, all the other ones. You said that as far as on a religious level, we were taught what?
Treat others as you'd like to be treated. But when so many people have some self-hatred, I don't want to be treated with how they treat themselves. You know, I want to be treated with my standards. I'll still give you the same love and mercy and all this other stuff, but I do have a standard. You know, I just want to tell you, relationships, a lot of ways, are like the wheels on a car. You know, we have our mental, our physical, our emotional, our spiritual. If you don't air them up all the same capacity, you're going to kind of drive down the road lopsided. So we have to make sure that we are fulfilling ourselves with all four tires. And a lot of that, it means self-care. And I tell people all the time, self-care is not vanity, it's sanity. Because I can't tell you how many times I talk to people that are married for 20, 30, 40 years, and they tell me, well, I'm divorced now. How do I even begin to start all over again? And first of all, I find that comment interesting, because I say, you know, life didn't start for you when you began to walk. Life didn't start for you when you went to sixth grade. Why does life start once you say I do? So, I mean, we're an ever evolving individual, which is why I say all the time, we're not human beings, we're human evolvements. So, and even on a physical and physiological level, our DNA is changing and our chromosomes and our skin. I mean, we're almost like a different person every 5 to 7 years, regardless. So, you know, even within your marriage, I understand, listen, I've been married 21 years. I got kids. I got a job. I understand you're pulled in 1,000 different directions. But if you do not continually get to know who you are, you're going to lose yourself. And then when something else goes awry, now you're lost because you don't even know who you are.
Yeah. I everything. Now, is this all written down in a book? When you say you've got this all written down in a book, where's this all written down? And then, first of all, and then you said you're married for 21 years, you've got kids and you've got a job. What do you mean you've got kids and you've got a job? So what are you doing for work right now?
Oh, so I'm a betrayal trauma practitioner. That's my full-time job. And I feel bad saying I'm very busy, but I am. And the reason I say I feel bad I'm busy is because I hate the fact that there's so much trauma out there. I hate the fact there's so much betrayal. Nothing. Well, I shouldn't say that. Betrayal trauma is horrendous. You know, trauma in general is the best title I can say. The best definition of trauma is life altering powerlessness or life changing powerlessness. And when you add betrayal onto that, there's such an intentionality with it. So there's such an intentional life-altering powerlessness. It is horrific. Now again, I think a lot of the times I'm talking to somebody, the reason I can effectively help them is because there's no substitute for experience. Because I did go through that school of hard knocks. But betrayal trauma is some of the most difficult trauma to go through, especially because it always comes from one of our primary attachments. You know, you don't get betrayal trauma from, you know, the cashier that's cashing you out. You get it from somebody who you were attached to. You're getting one of your primary needs from a parent, from a significant other, from a, you know, primary. So what I was saying as far as married and stuff, like, you know, I get up in the morning and, you know, the day is stretching me thin. My kids come home from school. They're stretching me thin. I go to church on Sunday. My pastor wants more out of me. I come home at night. My spouse wants more out of me. I mean, everybody wants more out of you. But what I'm saying is that you, even with all of that, I still got to pump up my four tires because listen, whatever is in your cup is for you. Whatever overflows from your cup is for everybody else. Yeah. You can't pour from an empty cup. Simple as that. And I know we're limited time. Let me just go real quickly. I always say this, the Titanic, which was the strongest, robust, beautiful, strong ship of its day, wasn't touched, wasn't nothing when the water was outside of it, but it was when the water got inside of it that it wound up floundering. So as strong as we are, as bold as we are, as wonderful and beautiful as we are, when we let outside drama and trauma and nonsense come into our ship, that's when we flounder.
Honest to God, you are amazing with your analogies of, you know, I mean, everything that you're bringing in, it's like good, it's clear, it's there. I love what you just said. It's true. It's about the water that's coming on the inside, and that's where it begins. I mean, it takes a lot out of a person that, you know, to sit with people that are in betrayal or are clearing betrayal and trauma, because it is such a dense energy. There's a lot of pain involved. So it takes a very special person. So thank you for doing that good work. And like, you're really clear with, you have to make sure your cup is full. So where can people learn more about your magnificence?
I think the easiest website on the face of the earth, which is Mr. J, relationshipcoach.com. So it's Mr. J relationshipcoach.com. And I just want to tell you something. I was thrown in special ed 40 years ago, and special ed 40 years ago is not the special ed it is today. It's not the inclusive, warm, welcoming special ed today. I was thrown into special ed. I was homeless. But I'll tell you something, with a lot of hard work and dedication, all of my degrees I got with high honors. I went from special ed to teaching special ed, winning awards in special ed. I went from having a speaking problem to a thriving speaking career. I went from homeless to a homeowner. It is possible, but you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, and healing is not comfortable.
And listen to this. Look how fast you said all of those things. When people say, what? I only have 10, 12 minutes on your show. Look at the things you said right now. All you need to do is just take these last 12 minutes and transcribe them, and you've got the affirmative blueprint for really something to aspire into. Mr. J, I want to call you Dr. J. Mr. J, thank you so much for coming on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We want to have you on again, talk to you again in the future. So hopefully you'll do that, and you'll bless us again with your presence.
Absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it. Launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry, get the KS Media app, go to the App Store and download it now.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the 9 freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to switch gears now. We're going to talk about giving birth and what happens to a woman that gives birth that goes into postpartum depression. That's what we're going to talk about right now, because if that is your reality, you don't need to stay here, that there is hope that you can rise above that. Arielle Wozniak shares with us that postpartum depression can be a lonely place and a period in a woman's life. The birth of a baby brings on a flood of emotions, body changes, and hormone imbalances that without the right tools can lead you on a spiral where you feel you have no control over. Before she shares her story with us now, she's going to tell us a little bit about how that all began. So thank you for coming on the show and sharing this amazing time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Good. So what happened? You moved to Georgia, you met your husband, and.
Yeah. So I'll kind of rewind a little bit. But I had this really big vision for my life. I always thought that I would be like this super successful woman living in New York City. As I was sharing with you before, I grew up in Connecticut. And so that was like the closest city to us. And so I had this really big vision of that's who I would be. I had no plans of getting married, no plans of ever having children. And obviously all of that has changed. And so when I met my husband, we ended up actually getting engaged within 3 months of knowing each other. So it was a whirlwind, to say the least. And then about 6 months after that, we got married. And then after that, we were pregnant with my very first son. And so it was a lot of change all happening at once. And then we moved to Georgia too. So it was like all these things happening. I left my family home where I had been for all of my life. And just really everything kind of spiraled out of control. I felt like I didn't know who I was anymore. And I just got to a really bad place where I was just constantly crying. I felt like life was terrible. I actually had made a plan to run away and start all over again. Like I was to the point where I was like, I cannot do this. This is not the life that I wanted to live. It got pretty bad after having my first son.
That sounds amazing. Like I was really in it because you said you didn't plan it. You didn't plan getting married. You didn't plan having children. You thought you were going to have a different life. So I'm in that movie. I'm playing there. And then all of a sudden now, 3 months later, I said I do. And then I'm going to get married. And now I'm going to have a baby. And all of a sudden, I've got 2 new people in my life that a year ago weren't there. And I'm going, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Yeah, Absolutely. That was my life. So really, when I think about it, I'm like, it's no surprise that I ended up in a place where I felt really depressed and hopeless, because I had this really different expectation for my life. And then I got to my life and it was just vastly different than I had ever planned for. And so it's funny because all my friends have plans of getting married and having kids, and they were off doing their own thing, building a career. And I'm like, that was supposed to be my life. Like, that was what I was supposed to be doing. You can have this life. I don't want it. And it was just a really tough time in my life. And I had to go through a period of adjustment and adjusting my expectations to be able to just accept where I was currently and find the joy in that experience. And that's really what I try to preach to other people, is that you can find joy through those really terrible experiences. You can find joy through postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. You can find the joy, but you have to look for it. And so I went on this journey of really looking for the joy in the life that I have. So, yeah.
That's really hard when you're depressed, because, yep, you know, depression is a paralyzation feeling where you're, yep, you feel paralyzed, because when you feel paralyzed to move forward and like get out of bed and do anything, probably change a diaper. How old is your son today?
He's 9. My son is 9. He'll be 10 this year.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So how is your life now? So this was obviously a while ago, right? Yeah. 9 years ago. So how is your life today? What are you doing today in your, because you've got a 9-year-old, you've got a husband, and then, yeah, now how is your business and how is your career?
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's interesting because after that experience, it took about, I'd say like a year before I was fully healed. Okay. And my healing experience, it really was something that I did not think would happen. So I ended up going to see a psychiatrist. She put me on so many different medications over the course of a year. Nothing ended up working. I felt like I was completely just like zoned out, and I just wasn't even present to my life. So it was really hard for me to do anything. Like you said, getting out of bed or showering, changing a diaper. I was just like, I can't do any of those things right now. I just need to stay alive. That's all I can do. And so we got to pretty much like, I would say maybe 7 or 8 months in, and my psychiatrist sat down with me and she was like, hey, we've tried a lot of things and nothing has really shown improvement. Do you mind if I just pray for you? And I was like, I don't really care, lady. You could do whatever you want to, because I am in a place where I'm desperate. And so if you think prayer would work, then you go for it. And so she prayed over me, which was like a very unique experience. It was the first time that I really like released so many of these tears that like I had cried behind closed doors. And it was like, I felt like I could just breathe for a moment. And after that, she invited me to her church. It was a very big church and I had no desire to go. And so I was like, okay, but you know, like you're just kind of being nice to get past the moment. And so I went home, and at the time my mom lived with us as well. And so I told her about this experience and told her that the psychiatrist invited me to church. And she was like, oh, someone that I know invited me to that same church. And so I was like, okay, let's go together. We'll go to this church, but we're going to sit all the way in the back because I don't want anyone to talk to me. And if I want to leave, I just want to leave without anyone interrupting me. And so we did that. We didn't leave. We ended up staying. And the long story short of it is that that has become my home church now. We've been there for the past almost 9 years and have been members and have really gotten involved in the community, got involved with just the people and just allowed them to love on us in those dark times. And then I had another son, did not experience postpartum depression. It was, I always say it was perfect, but like, I mean, obviously there are little things that happen, but like everything went really well. Like there was no anything. I was just like, okay, this is great. This is how it's supposed to be. And then a couple of years later, we tried again so that we could have a daughter. Like I always wanted a daughter. And so now I was in the process of like trying for my third, and I became obsessed with the idea of getting pregnant. I had joined a bunch of trying to conceive groups and like doing the temperature and like all these things to like make it perfect conditions. And that obsession turned into anxiety. And throughout the entire process of being pregnant, of labor, of delivery, it was just anxiety ridden. And so I actually had my very first panic attack while I was in labor, and I thought I was dying. And so it was a miserable experience. And then after her birth, I went on to have about 2 to 3 panic attacks every day for the first week of her life. And I remember sitting on the side of my bed, and I just said, if this is life, then I don't want to live it. Like, I just, this is not a desirable thing at all. And so I went through the process again of finding a psychiatrist and going through therapy and all these things. And I really felt like God reminded me in that moment, like, okay, what about the first time? What happened the first time? Why don't you try that again? And so I got back involved with like my small group family and really relied heavily on that community. And through that experience, I felt like God was telling me that I need to provide that for other people who are going through what I went through. And so I actually started a nonprofit. It's called Defeat PPD. And so that's what we do. We offer free coaching where we're there to walk with you, hold your hand through the process, help you to see that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that you can get through this if you have people that you can like rely on and are there to support you and don't feel like you have to carry all this burden just on your own. So yeah, that's what I get to do now for my business and get to talk to people like every day and just get to encourage them and just help them to see that it gets better. Like it really does.
So you are a mom of three now?
Yes.
So what I find so fascinating, right? It's like literally, you know, you've got three children now. You went through this whole postpartum experience, the anxiety, all of that. You went through this whole experience. You created a nonprofit. You, again, trusted God, the foundation, and you went into that. And now you're helping other people. And none of it was your plan. You didn't go seek it out, but this is what ended up, this is what you're doing. And it sounds like a fabulous story of, you know, your own inner journey back home to God, back home to your foundation, the legacy that you're leaving for your children and what it is that you're building. It's beautiful. And I love how you are, you know, working in the nonprofit, providing free coaching. It's great. So do you want to tell us how people can look you up and find out more about what it is that you do?
Absolutely. So you can go to www.defeatppd.com and you can find out all about the nonprofit, the programs that we have, all the things that we offer. You can also see our Instagram on there and just get connected to people who know what it's like to be in your shoes and want to walk with you through it.
Good. Is this the first interview you've ever done?
No. So I've done a couple of interviews and been on a couple of podcasts, but we're really just kind of getting started. We started in October of 2021, so still fairly new.
Good. Well, I want to talk to you because I think you should have your own podcast. The nonprofit should have your own podcast. I want to talk to you about that. I also want to talk to you about coming into our mastermind community that features the world's best leading practitioners, professionals, entrepreneurs, nonprofits in their field of expertise. So I want to have Ashley reach back out to you and set up another appointment for us to meet again and talk again, because you know, your story is incredible. And like you said, you are helping people now on in the same experience that you had. And I'm sure there's a lot of women that could use your help.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. I would love to chat again.
Good. Wow. That just really lifted me up, you know, for a person that didn't plan on getting married and didn't plan on having children and now has three children and a nonprofit and is helping other people. What else is possible? Arielle Wozniak, thank you so much for coming on the Cornelia Stephanie Show today. And we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store, download it, launch and create your free account, get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories, click on resources of the world's best influencers, find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry, get the KS Media app, go to the App Store and download it now.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, everyone. Listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. This is currently being written by my guest, Fred Ruttman. And he's currently writing the medical trauma memoir, The Summer I Died 20 Times. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So you've got quite a background from being in marketing, certified marketing specialist. You're an intermittent faster, a coach, a death and brain trauma survivor. Definitely want to talk about that. You're living in Toronto. Life is good. You've lost tons and tons and tons of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are.
And here I am. And here you are. And let's have a nice conversation.
So what are you doing in your life today? You said before we came on that you're helping people. That, you know, what is it that you're doing to help people?
Well, having gone through all this trauma, I try to give people a model that no matter how horrific your life is, there can be a silver lining. And I found tools to do that. And I help people with intermittent fasting, which helps them in so many facets of their life, emotional, physical. Weight loss is the benefit. It's the side bonus, I guess, of it. It really is a healing protocol that not enough people know about.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of intermittent fasting. It's my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it since 2017. And I can tell you it has changed my life. You know, so I can relate to that. I think it's important what you're doing because, you know, just in America alone, the obesity rate is, you should be so busy. There should be so many people coming. You should be helping so many clients because so many people need to know about that lifestyle, right? The intermittent fasting lifestyle and what it really can do to repair the damage that's been done, right?
Yes. And you being a naturally very empathetic person, I bet you when you started fasting, you became even more supercharged, empathetic, energy absorbing.
Yes. Yeah. That's good. How did you know I was naturally empathetic?
I read your bio.
That's good. Well, I thought maybe you were psychic, super psychic, maybe fasting. You know, I'm sure that also has a lot to do with it, you know, because we're not weighed down by the toxins so much when we're giving the body time to rest and time to repair and time to recharge. So it's a wonderful practice. Now, fasting for men is a little bit different than fasting for women.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I do, especially for, you know, women that are, you know, in menopause per se, that you know, there's different hormones that women are responding to that, what we need. So I think having that awareness is also important, but you should know, because you're probably working with women clients who maybe you don't have that experience.
Yeah. First, I guess we should do a standard medical disclaimer. We're not doctors. We're just really good people. Yeah. And, you know, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, you definitely shouldn't be doing intermittent fasting. And if you've had eating disorders, you shouldn't be doing this unless you're under super tight supervision from your medical professionals. I'm a facilitator or a prodigy of Jyn Stevens, who wrote the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat. And I was a moderator in her Facebook group, which had about 335,000 people. Probably 96% of them were women. Oh. And from every age group, you know, 20 plus to 85.
Okay.
And just semi-paraphrasing Jyn, who just went through menopause, the fasting went on to normalize her hormones and heal her body before she went into menopause. And it made the ride much easier for her. So we've seen a lot of women benefit from this. There are some ideas that, you know, women on their cycles shouldn't fast, or, you know, that women's hormones are different. And that really hasn't been our experience. The experience we've had is that when you start and your body's trying to relearn all its signals and processes and become normalized, your cycles may become a touch irregular, but after your body settles in, it goes back to normal. In fact, Jyn had a guest on one of her podcasts who's an OBGYN, and she recommends intermittent fasting for her patients with fertility problems and PCOS.
Oh yeah. That's that, you know, cause I'm definitely a person of the PCOS. You know, I definitely had that, and I don't have that anymore, but I'm low carb because mm-hmm. I can't, you know, that's something that I had, the ovarian cysts, and yes. You know, that
sorry
was
to hear good. That.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. That was in 2011 when the medical system wanted to remove and give me a complete hysterectomy, and also told me that I'm a candidate for endometrium cancer, and that is when I said no, and I am canceling my appointment with cancer. That's not something that I'm going to, because I was already a healer. I was already processing my emotions. I was already mm-hmm. in that field. And so then somebody, a friend of mine, said, you know, now's the time for you, Cornelia, to really walk your talk. Why don't you do what it is that you're telling people to do by their beliefs and their emotions? And so mm-hmm. then I went into that, but then I also changed my diet. And when I changed my diet, that's when the cysts went away, and you know, the whole thing. So I understand that part, but intermittent fasting is a beautiful lifestyle. Obviously it has saved your life. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, are you working with people currently? Is that what you're doing currently, working with a one-on-one clients, or what is it? How are you working with people today?
I'm working a little bit one-on-one. I'm doing some group talks, and mostly I'm putting my attention towards talking to people like you on podcasts and tidying up my book, you know, The Summer I Died 20 Times, because that's what happened to me. So people have a real hard time believing that. I have a hard time believing that.
Yeah.
Doctors have a hard time believing it.
Yeah. So can you, in just a short amount of time that we have left, just like in 2 to 3 sentences, take us to that moment, that summer that you died 20 times. Can you take us to that?
It was the summer of 2009. I have a condition we now know is called a severe heart block. And that's the electrical system in your heart dies. And, you know, it stops sending signals to tell your atria and ventricle to pump. And your blood pressure goes to zero. You have no blood in your brain, no oxygen in your brain, and you're clinically dead. And they have no idea why this happened to me. It usually happens to people in their 70s, primarily men, and they have no idea why all these times my heart started up on its own.
Wow, it did?
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Wow, I didn't expect that. I thought maybe they did something and then...
No, it's all me. I did it.
Yeah, it's all you. Well, you were meant to be here, for sure, mm-hmm. Because obviously you were meant to tell this story and then help as many people that are called to work with you to also realize that they can heal too.
Yeah, you know, your mindset is your greatest superpower. And however you can charge that up through meditation, through faith, through prayer, through exercise, through changing your diet, energy changes everything. And you've got to try and access that superpower and that mindset.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not saying it's easy, but you can do it.
Yeah. Prior to all of that, you do have the word trauma. The weight, was that part of the trauma? The weight gain that you had, was that part of your trauma? Was there other trauma?
I'm sure that was a minor contributor. If it had been, the doctors would have said outright, you know, you're a fat slob. That's why this happened, because doctors do that. No, the problem was I was misdiagnosed, you know, 20 times. And it took them, you know, me dying a fair number of times over a number of months to get the diagnosis that I did and get a pacemaker inserted. And then I had no plan for recovery. So I had all these concussions because every time my heart would stop, I would stop and collapse and hit my head on something. So, you know, there's a lot of trauma, a lot of anxiety left, a lot of post-concussion syndrome. And I just had to figure out how to heal it on my own if I could. And one of the things that intermittent fasting does that's just so powerful is it helps with neuroplasticity. And that's helping your neurons and all your pathways in your body, you know, regenerate and rewire yourself so that you can heal. And, you know, it's been a theory for 150 years. And now we've actually got a tool to actively help people in this process.
Fred, can you give me the social media handles where people can look you up and learn more about you, please?
Sure. I'm on Repeatedly Dead Fred. That's my Instagram. And my email with that name. So it's repeatedly.dead.fred@gmail is where they can find me.
Awesome. Well, Fred, I just, you know, I find that you're an inspiration. I'm so glad that you're reborn again and that you didn't die. You didn't die as many times as you said in, you were saying in your memoir that you're here and that you're here to tell the story and that you're healing and that you're recovering and that you are helping people. Thank you so much for being on the Cornelia Stephanie Show today. We appreciate
you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me share this story.
Thank you. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back, everyone. Hey, everyone. Come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it. Launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry, get the KS Media app, go to the App Store and download it now.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday Living in Peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Inspire. Create. Empower. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everyone, welcome again to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. What a great show we have today. My next guest is Eileen McDonald. She's a fearless, intuitive breakthrough and performance coach. She also has a podcast. She holds nothing back and loves to work with clients who are ready to play full out. Her mission is to change the legacy of scarcity in every area that touches our lives and move it into prosperity. Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Cornelia. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. So what brought you to your mission?
Oh, wow. So that is such a huge question. And I love that question. And so my mission really in life is to empower people to understand that they have a choice. And that they are not the definition of the people who raised them, the people who were in communities with them. They get to identify exactly who they are at all times so that they don't have to live edited. So as a kid growing up, I was abused by my mom. She had a difficult time with drinking. And when she drank, it got violent. And so I went through a childhood that was very much telling me what to say and when to say it, what to feel, or telling me that I couldn't feel, telling me what I could do, telling me that I should marry for money because I was never going to make anything of myself. So it was such a process of losing trust in the people that were supposed to be caring for me, losing trust in myself and my own decision-making, feeling that I couldn't make it because I'd been told for so long. And so we all have this voice inside of us. We all have this vision, and we just get to borrow other people's faith in us until we're able to grow it for ourselves.
Who was the person that you borrowed the faith from?
So it was probably about 15 years ago now. I walked into an Al-Anon room for friends and families of alcoholics, and it was my first sponsor. And she saw the light in me. And so she loved me unconditionally and taught me what unconditional love meant. And that was so powerful.
So she basically, you know, held that space for you so that you can stay with it. With the energy of not drinking, with the energy of loving, and you know, everything that you went through in your childhood that you didn't get back then, and that you are now able to give to yourself with the love of this person that was loving you unconditionally, showing you what's possible here.
Yeah. So that was the first example of leadership, of self-leadership, of trusting yourself, of the journey to loving yourself. So through that process, I really connected that I want other people to feel this way. I want other people to know what I know, to practice in their own way, right? Because nobody else can create in our experience. So to really create in their own way what that means and looks like for them so they could live their most out loud, unedited life.
Let's right away send people to your social media where people can look you up, because one of the things that you talked about is that you want to, you're helping people live out loud, fully out loud, mm-hmm. uncensored, unfiltered. They're able to, they're getting permission to be all of who they are. You're helping them do that. And you're also helping them to transcend that scarcity mindset and move into prosperity. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they could reach me on Facebook or LinkedIn, Eileen McDonnell, and I look pretty much like this. It's the same profile picture. You can't miss me. And you can also go to my website, eileenmcdonnell.com/unedited.
Yeah. And do you also have a podcast, right?
Yeah, it's coming up. It's called The Unedited Show. It's going to be launching at the end of May. And I'm super excited for that. It's going to be a show that's going to be all about inspirational stories of how people live unedited.
That's so great. Now, so it's just launching. You're just beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So podcasting, such a fabulous resource, such a fabulous tool, way for us to, the creators, to continuously share our wisdom and our insight with our audience on a global scale. Podcasting changed my life when I started back in 2017, and I've never looked back. It was a huge commitment at the time to make the commitment to continuously show up, because you have to show up.
Right.
And there was no more hiding after that. No more hiding. We have to keep showing up. So congratulations. Certainly. And I want to help you get your podcast out. So definitely want to have you come on the show again. I'm going to have Ashley reach out and set up another appointment where we can possibly do a longer segment to go into a little bit more because of our situation today.
I would love that, Cornelia. Thank you so much. It's been so great being here with you today, too.
Super great. How long have you been on this path now?
Coaching 9 years, actually 10 this month, funny enough, 10 this month. Yeah. And, on personal development for the last 15 years.
Yeah. That's yeah. Powerful. Once you've got the personal development coaching, once you've got that down, we know how to be human and we know how to live.
Yeah.
Right. We know how to live. We know how to be human. So that is so fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning into the show. We'll see you again here. Stay tuned for the next Cornelia Stephanie Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.